This is an interview with Charles Fryhart of 120 Weiss Avenue in Easton, Pennsylvania. The date is June 2nd, 1992, and it's approximately 11 a.m. The interview is taking place in his house, in the living room of his house. Okay, first, Charlie or Charles?
Charlie.
Okay, Charlie, how old are you?
42.
Okay, and you're a native of?
Easton.
You've lived here all your life?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're married?
Yeah.
How many?
Four kids.
Four children? Okay, all daughters.
Right.
All daughters, okay. Where did you go to school?
Yeah, Easton area.
Easton area?
Yeah.
Okay. Graduated what year?
67.
Okay. And what did you do when you got out of high school?
Well, I went into the Army
for
2 years
during
the Vietnam era.
Okay. You a Vietnam vet?
No, actually I was in Germany.
In Germany?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got out of there in 72, and about a week later I was working in Ingersoll.
Why did you go to work for Ingersoll? When did you go there?
Well, my dad worked there.
Okay. And he worked there a long time?
Yeah, he had when he got out of there, he had a total of 29 years.
Uh-huh.
But it was the big place around the area beside Bethlehem Steel.
Uh-huh. They paid well, you thought?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what you had to do, try to find a job to support your family.
Okay. What were you looking for at that time in terms of the job? By the way, let me ask you first, were you married when you went there?
Yeah, I got married in the Army.
You got married in the Army?
Yeah.
Okay. So you actually had a wife and any kids at that time?
No, daughter on the way.
Daughter on the way. So right. You had a family.
Right. Well, I'm starting one.
Okay. And you went to Ingersoll because it looked like it was...
It looked financially sound.
Okay. Secure?
Yeah.
Pretty secure. Okay.
And, like I said, I never thought it would fold.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, was it normal for, say, children of people who work there to go into the plant?
I think it was.
There were other people like you, in other words.
Yeah.
So there was nothing unusual to that.
No.
You obviously, because of your father's experience, thought it was a good place to work at that time.
Yeah, my grandfather worked there, my uncle worked there one time.
So you were actually a third generation.
Right.
To work at Ingersoll.
Right.
Okay. When you started, what did you do there?
I started as an NC operator.
Okay, what's that?
It's a numerically controlled machine.
Okay.
And I worked like that for maybe 10 years, and then I was a setup man.
Okay.
I would set up all the machines, and the other people would run them.
Okay. Where did you learn this? Operate the machines?
On the job training.
Did they provide any kind of program at all, training program?
No, they just had other operators teach you.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You went from there.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you worked 10 years.
I worked a total of, I started in December 72, and they closed it in November of 83.
Okay. What division was that?
Rock Drill.
Okay. And you stayed in that same division that whole particular time. All right. Did you have any idea by the early 80s that the place was in trouble?
Yeah, rumors have been going around for years that they were going to do this and do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it got to the point where you were a nervous wreck when you went in. You didn't know what to expect from day to day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you'd come home and you'd kind of take it out on your wife and kids sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. What did they say? Did the company say anything about the reason?
No, it was always the employees heard something.
Okay. So the company was not...
No, they wouldn't say anything at all.
While you were there, was the company keeping up in terms of putting in new machinery and new equipment?
They were always updating machinery.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Was most of this machinery American-made at that particular time?
I would say, yeah.
Uh-huh. But they were updating it.
Yeah.
Did it surprise you when the division finally closed down?
I could say I kind of thought it was going to happen eventually, but not at that time. We were out on strike.
Oh, you were on strike?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came as a surprise. I was kind of shocked.
What was the strike about? Do you remember?
They were going to take benefits away from us.
Okay. This was in 82?
83.
83. Okay. All right. What kind of benefits did they want to take back?
Just your standard Blue Cross Blue Shield. They were going to try to make us pay more for it. I guess there was other benefits too, but I really didn't get into that. It was just mostly Blue Cross Blue Shield and stuff like that.
All right. Now, during this time, you were a member of the union, right?
Right.
That was United Steelworkers.
Right, 5503.
Okay, 5503. What was your attitude toward them, toward the union?
Tell you the truth, sometimes I thought they were worthless.
Okay, why'd you feel that way?
Well, every time I got laid off or got bumped around from place to place, it was always the people who didn't want to work and thought it was a big joke in there and caused problems. They were still there when I was out the door laid off. And I kind of resented that. I think a lot of other people did, too.
These were people with seniority?
Yeah.
Okay. During that 10-year period of time you were in that division, did you have any layoffs?
Yeah.
Okay. Were they long periods of time?
Actually, I got bounced to another division, down to the foundry.
Okay. This was before 82?
Right.
Before 83, okay. And that's because you didn't have enough seniority?
Right.
Okay, what did you do in the foundry?
I was what they call a chipper. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, I know what that is. I did that in the steel mill.
Yeah,
a bitch of a job. Yeah, okay. And you were there for?
I was only there for maybe 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then I can't exactly remember, but I think I got called back.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To a different job. I wasn't the same job I was in. I got bounced out of that job.
Okay. No. Did you, back to the union now, did you feel that the union did any good for you while you were here?
No, the union never did good when I was here at all. If you had a problem, anything with the company, the union, the stewards never helped you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they were, when I was working third shift, you'd see a steward in there all night talking to the foreman, just shooting the bull with them. Like they were buddy buddies, and then when it came time for them to stand up to the foreman, they wouldn't do it because they were like friends.
Mm-hmm. So you felt that they weren't really doing anything to
you. Right.
Mm-hmm. When the rumors started to go around about the possible closing of the division, was there any effort by the union to reassure you or to do anything for you?
Well, I don't think anybody knew it was closing until that. They actually we were out on strike, and they just came out and told us that's it. It's closed. It's, you know, they're going to close. Everybody kind of go home. You don't have a job anymore.
Did you think that was the closing was related to the strike?
I think the strike helped, but I think it would have closed no matter what. I think that was just an excuse for it.
Why do you think they closed it? Were they non-competitive or inefficient or what? What idea do you have about that?
I just don't think they were. I think the workers were making too much money up there.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't get anywhere with the union.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like two rams banging heads. It was.
There was that much antagonism between the company and the union.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, what kind of hourly wage were you making then?
I was making $13 an hour back then.
$13 an hour.
That
was in 83.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good wage at
that
time. Yeah. Plus benefits.
Right.
So you think it was really related to the union and the high wages
they
were paying? Right.
They kind of made demands like either you do this or we're going to do this, and we just didn't budge.
Uh-huh.
So they just said that's it.
Okay. Did they move that division anywhere else?
Yeah, they moved it down to Roanoke, Virginia.
Down to Roanoke.
Yeah.
Right. Still there? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I heard that they moved it down there and they were so fouled up they couldn't get the machinery in the doors or anything. It was sitting out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's doing now, I have no idea.
So your pretty much convinced they moved the division just to get away from the union at this particular.
Well, I don't know so much that. It was just cheaper labor down there. Mm-hmm. You know, why pay a guy $13 when you can pay him $6 down there?
Right. How did the, you say you were shocked when this happened. You were very surprised.
Right.
How about the other guys in the division?
Everybody was. Uh-huh. Everybody was. Uh-huh. Anybody that cared, I should say.
Right.
You know, they had their family, they had their homes. It was just like, what am I going to do now about bills, my home?
So at that point, you had about 10 years in.
I had 11 years.
11 years in. Okay. What happened then in 83 when you were put into the closing division?
Well, I went on unemployment. And then I went to a machine shop a couple of months later up in Allentown called Spirex Sarco.
Okay. Before we get to that, was there any effort by Ingersoll to move you into another division?
No.
Or another place?
I didn't have enough seniority. You had to probably have 30 years to push a broom over there at that time. I mean, even the guys with the higher seniorities wanted jobs. And they had like 30 years, 35 years, and they tried to get another division, and only the lucky ones that had a lot of seniority got in.
So actually, even with 11 years, that wasn't enough.
Well, I had no time to get anything. Uh-huh. And they, if you had a certain amount of years, and, well, you had to have a combination of seniority and something else, I forget what it was, but you could take a pension. I'm not sure what the heck it was right now.
Go ahead.
And a lot of guys who were lucky enough to have that amount of time and whatever it took got out. Got part-time jobs, full-time jobs elsewhere. Other guys, just like I said, you had to have about 30 years to push a broom over there. Everybody else was just out the door scrambling for jobs down the employment office.
I guess Russ was like that. He had, I don't know how many years he had in, but he could get out.
Right.
Yeah. Where did a lot of the guys you worked with go? Did you have any idea?
A lot of them went up to Mack Truck.
Okay.
I tried to get in, but I had like a skin condition, and they wouldn't take me. You know, I told them I worked at Ingersoll for years with it. Nope, I never had a problem, never hardly ever missed time. They didn't want to hear it. So I didn't get in there.
Do you think they felt that maybe you were too high paid at Ingersoll? And,
no.
Or your age, maybe?
No.
You think it was just your health? They didn't want to take
you? Yeah, because I was only in my 30s at that time, you know.
Right, right. Okay.
But they just didn't want to take a chance. See, a lot of times you work around cooling.
Right.
Oil and that, and they're just afraid that you're going to develop something and you're going to come back and sue the company.
Right.
So they didn't want to take a chance with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. How did you feel when you got laid off after putting in 11 years at the place?
I was mad.
You were mad?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what to do. I was frustrated. I never felt anything like it.
Uh-huh.
Just hopelessness.
And then you said, well, you went on unemployment for a while.
Right.
And you went to Allentown then.
Right.
And this, what was the name of that company?
Spirex Sarco.
Okay, what did they do?
They made steam valves.
All right.
Okay. And I ran a turret lathe there for maybe 9 months. And then they laid 27 of us off. And here I was again.
Okay. What was the reason?
Just, they weren't selling. It was a time when things were tough.
Okay. Yeah, there was a recession in 83.
Right.
Right. All right, then what happened?
I think I went to a place called Stobbs down in Annandale.
Okay.
And they closed that. And today it's another name. I don't even know what it's called. And then from there, I went to Computer Power.
Right.
And I started out with, actually I was doing two jobs. I worked in a warehouse as a quality control inspector, inspecting incoming material. And then I also worked putting things away, which it was like two jobs at once. And they were, the guy that ran shipping, about a year later, was going to take over as plant manager. And he was kind of impressed with me, because I never missed time and I was considered a real good worker. So they made me warehouse manager. And a year.
Where was this company?
Highbridge.
Highbridge, New Jersey.
Right.
Okay.
So I was a warehouse manager for about maybe 3.5 years, and then a guy applied for a job there that was, he was a manager up in Allentown at Mack Truck for 28 years. Well, he lost his job, and they figured, this guy's got 28 years, he's got to know everything. So they took him and put him in charge of me. And then he had everything so fouled up that I went out on vacation for a week. And they called me up and said, you're terminated. And I couldn't understand that.
While you're on vacation?
Right. And I never could understand that, because of all the times I worked there, I was considered a good worker. I never had problems with anybody. And even when this guy was a boss, they wouldn't even page him on the intercom, because the guy knew absolutely nothing about anything. They would actually go over his head and page me. And all this guy's problems, I would have to straighten out, because he didn't know how to do it. But during that year that he took over, he fouled up inventory so bad that he drug both of us down with him.
So they actually got rid of both of you?
Yep.
What did you think of that? How did you feel? How did you respond?
I thought it was a raw deal. He did too. I called him up and I asked him, what the heck happened? And he just said, things didn't go right with inventory. I said, yeah, but I had nothing to do with it. You did. But they just drug me down with them.
And this was after 3 years?
I worked there from probably 86 to 90.
Okay, almost 4 years.
It was a good 4 years. 4 years and some months.
Okay. Now, in this time you were doing these other jobs, how was your income compared to what it had been at Ingersoll?
Well, I started out at Computer Power making $5.50 an hour.
Practically a minimum wage.
And then in the year when I took over as the manager, I was making $12.20 an hour.
Okay. So you're almost back to the level you had been at Ingersoll.
Right.
And what the benefits do? Do they include benefits in these jobs?
Yeah.
All right. So here you were in 1990. You're a lot older, of course. And four children, family. Okay. And must have been pretty pissed off at this point.
I was real angry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just thought I got a raw deal. Uh-huh. I never did anything. I went to seminars for the place, learned this, learned that. I think what happened is the guy that was a plant manager was doing such a bad job. They didn't fire him. They took him off being plant manager. They put him back in shipping. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, he got angry. And somehow he got me fired, along with this other guy. So they wouldn't even let me in the building to even talk to him.
Just didn't want,
You didn't want the hassle. Mm-hmm.
And there was no union there or anything to protect you?
No, it was non-union.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, what happened then after, this is 1990 now?
Well, I got out of there. I went to Hitran down by Flemington, and I started up in the stock room, and then I got a job down in the wiring department, wiring units.
Okay. And they manufactured what?
I think they're backup systems for computers is what they're called. And from there, I was trying to get my application to get back in Ingersoll because I lost all my seniority there. So finally, the guy broke down and said he had to tell him to come in for a physical. And I got my physical and I started working here.
Back in Ingersoll?
Right. And back in the Cameron division.
In the Cameron division. Okay. And this was, what year, 90?
I was 91.
Okay.
Right. It was September 91. And I worked there as a turret lathe operator for probably 7 months, and then I got laid off again April 20th, 92.
They closed that whole division, didn't they?
No, Cameron's open.
Is it Cameron open?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So after almost 10 years, you go back to Ingersoll.
Right.
And they didn't give you your seniority back?
No, I lost it.
So you actually had to start all over again.
Right.
Okay. What hourly wage did you start at?
$10.80.
So almost 10 years later, you were starting at a wage actually lower than what you
right.
had finished with.
All right.
Okay. And they laid you off again.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, me and about 10 other guys.
Did they say they were gonna they make any effort to put you in another division in somewhere else?
No, the only thing open is foundry, and I think they're getting bounced around there down that foundry too.
What was the workforce at Ingersoll when you were there originally back in the 70s? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I think it was around 3,000 something.
All right. And do you have any idea what it was when you were there recently?
We're down to the hundreds.
In the hundreds. Right.
Yeah.
So the place is pretty much closed down.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now you did you work in any other places before you went back to Ingersoll just recently?
No, just Hytran.
Just Hytran, okay. You were with Ingersoll just recently, weren't you?
Right, till April 20th.
Oh. All right, okay, I see. So that was, I got my dates mixed up there. So you were there from?
September of last year till April 20th.
April 20th of this year.
Right.
Okay, all right. Any chance of going back?
I don't know. I heard rumors they're trying to get some people back in there again, which I don't know. I have no way of verifying it.
Because I've heard that they've been hiring people.
They can't hire.
They can't?
No. They have to bring back the people that are laid off already.
Okay. But you haven't heard that they were calling people back?
I just heard a rumor. But I'm not sure.
How do you feel about all this? What's happened to you? What's your personal feeling about this?
Tell you the truth, I'm mixed up. I don't know what I'm going to do next. It's like sometimes you feel like you don't even want to look for a job. You're so disgusted. It's like, I don't need a $5 job, $5 an hour job. And that's all that's out there. It's, I don't know, it's really a lost feeling.
Blame yourself for this?
The only thing I blame myself for is not listening to my dad years ago when he said go to college.
I think you should have gone on to do that. Okay. What about the companies? Do you think they've are in any way responsible for what's happened? You know, your story is not is not unique. In other words, there are
right.
plenty of stories like yours.
The companies are responsible too. They're always complaining about saving money, but you can walk in Cameron any time of the day or night and they have machines running that don't need to be running. Weekends they have lights on. I mean, I can walk in here Sunday night and the machines in the building will be lit. The lights will be lit. The machines will be running. And nobody's even operating them. I mean, they're just running them because they're too lazy to shut them off and restart them when people come in. Showers. You can walk in there anytime during your shift and they'll have the hot water, all the showers turned on. Just so when they make sure that when it's time to take a shower after the shift, the hot water, they have hot water. But I mean, they're not trying to save money at all.
So you think there's a lot of waste?
Oh, yeah, it's really bad. I've seen really bad stuff.
What other kinds of inefficiencies do you think they respond?
Well, the foremen are terrible. I had a foreman on third shift that, well, let's put it this way. I ran a turret lathe. The guy next to me worked probably 2 hours a night and did crossword puzzles for six. The foreman would walk by and he was scared to death of the guy because the guy's always threatening to break his neck. And you can have a guy on the other side of me that is a fairly good worker, but he's a little guy, and the foreman will stand there and pick on that guy all night because he's so angry at this guy to the left, he takes it out on the guy to the right.
They won't do anything about the real problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you have guys standing. I mean, I would go in 11 o'clock with a turret lathe. It's not like pushing a button. Everything's manually. If you have to operate, you can't stand around. The guys that would run the machines, the newer machines, push button, would stand out in the aisle and talk till midnight, and then they'd finally decide they're going to start working. Well, the foreman never said a word to him. You know, he used to get me pretty burned up. And it's like I said, there really isn't much production. You know, I think the foremen are afraid of the union.
And you felt that this was, did this happen on other shifts, you know? Do you have any idea? I mean,
you have a lot of people standing around doing nothing, because I work days, I work second and third. I don't think that you have people threatening foremen like this guy. This guy was crazy. But there is a lot of people standing around doing nothing. There's no incentive to work. Years ago at the drill department, they had an incentive system where the more work you do, the more you got paid. Now they figured, heck with it. If I do two pieces a night, I'm still going to get my wages, same amount. So they don't do anything.
So you feel management's really at fault of a lot
sure.
of the time.
They had to. I told the foreman myself. I said, "You're crazy. I'd throw this guy out the door."
You can't do that, of course, because he's.
Well, he can do it.
He can do it.
He's just afraid of retaliation from the union. Uh-huh. But you got to put your foot down sometime.
Is this kind of thing go on in other parts of the plant, do you think, do you know?
Yeah, it does. Because I see guys all night long walking around talking, doing no work at all. And the foreman don't say a word to them.
You feel management is really at fault for this?
Sure they are.
Okay. What kind of attitude have the workers had toward yourself? What kind of attitude have you had? Feel it was a decent place to work?
I think it could be if the company got their act together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, the workers, it's like I said, they're not dedicated. They're not like the Japanese. They don't care about anything. All they want to do is walk around acting like they're being picked on, like the company owes them something.
And you think this has contributed to a lot, to what's happened?
Sure. But companies got to put their foot down and say enough's enough.
Okay. There's been, you know, that management has complained about American workers. They claim they don't work hard.
They don't. They're bums.
Mm-hmm. You feel that they've slacked too much.
I think they're the laziest people on earth from what I've seen. I've worked in all kinds of machine shops, and they are lazy.
You found this to be true in other places?
Sure. You turn your back 1 second, the guy's goofing around.
Why do you think this is the case?
I have no idea. It's just the 90s. I don't know if it's the way they're brought up or I don't know what it is.
Are you talking now about younger workers or older workers or what?
Pretty much younger workers. I would say young workers, people in their up till probably 40 years old. Usually after 40, they seem to work pretty steady. I mean, you still have goof-offs that are 40 and 50 years
right,
old,
right.
But most of the kids.
Okay, yeah, you're describing a problem that other people have you know, talked about, too. So you're saying that certainly there was a change then in how people worked from the time you started at Ingersoll back in the early 70s to say now.
I don't know if there's a change. I mean, we still had bums back then, too, that felt the same way. We had people that did absolutely nothing except go around and cause trouble. From what I can see, I don't think nothing's changed. I think it's exactly the same way.
Other people you work with, your friends of yours in the company, do they feel the same way about this situation?
They see... Yeah, they do, because we talked about it a couple times. We'd be standing here saying, how come, you know, with our machines running, like, how come so-and-so is standing down the middle of the aisle and foreman's standing there watching him? Never says a word to him. You know, and we'd be talking about the Japanese or, you know, how they're bashing Americans. And we can't blame them, because look at them.
You're not blaming the Japanese, then?
No, I don't blame them at all. I agree with everything they say.
Okay. When did your feelings, did your feeling toward Ingersoll change a lot over the years? You obviously, when you went to work there, you felt...
Well, I think we need a regular guy in here and not these politicians that all they do is make promises. Just a regular down-to-earth guy. Clinton, I mean, I'm a Democrat. I wouldn't vote for Clinton. Bush is a phony. I would rather vote for Perot than any of them.
Because you feel that they're not going to do anything.
No. I don't think Clinton's going to do it either. I think they're just talking until they get in government.
What kind of programs do you think the government should put into practice to say, reverse the economy, to try to improve the economy?
I really don't know. I never thought about it. I don't know.
Well, how about the future of your kids? How do you see their future? Back in when you were got out of high school, you got out, you had a place to go to work. You had Ingersoll. There were Spethlum Steelers, Mack Trucks. There were a lot of business, a lot of industry. Now it's closing. It's disappearing. What kind of future do you see for your daughters?
I don't know. It doesn't look like a very bright one. All I can hope for is they marry millionaires.
Yeah, find them first, right?
I don't know. There's not much out there for a kid today. Even the college graduates on TV, it's like they can't find jobs.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. And they're all moaning at Lafayette about how difficult it is to get a job. Do the other people you work with feel the same way you do? They're sort of confused. They don't quite know what's going to happen.
I don't know. I really didn't get into that with them. I mean, when I got laid off, I was out the door. I really didn't stop them. And I really don't know how they feel. I know that they don't like it.
Sure.
People, they bounced around like I did. Different jobs, but they just feel like they have no control over it.
What do you plan to do now? You're hoping that you get called back.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of down the dumps right now, where I'm not even. I shouldn't say I'm not looking for a job.
Right.
But I'm not going to take.
Discouraged.
Right. I'm not going to take any job that comes along for $5 an hour. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Do you have any kind of pension built up from your previous time?
Yeah, I have 10 years vested rights at Ingersoll the first time.
But that wouldn't kick in until you're,
right.
What, 65?
Something like that. I'll bet you what it is.
Okay. Okay, do you have anything you want to add to this? Anything you want to say?
No, nothing I can think of.
Okay. All right, well, pretty much covered what I wanted to ask you. Okay. As I said, you know, this is a story.